Two readings from the Gospels now, and then Chris is going to preach to us.
Luke 9, verses 1 to 9. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If the people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake off the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Now Herod, the tetrarch, heard about what was going on, and he was perplexed, because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear such things about? And he tried to see him. This is the word of the Lord.
Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Amen. Good morning. Well, it's lovely to be back here. It's some years since I was here. I think probably 5 years. Kes was with you 2 years ago, but I was in Japan at that point. But let me start by saying thank you for your continued warm support and prayers and for our work in Japan. We're just very grateful. And it was lovely to be greeted by name by so many people, and people know who Jonathan is. It's just such an encouragement, and we're really grateful for your partnership with us. Well, today we're going to be looking at that reading from Luke, and I've entitled it, To Be a Disciple is to Be Sent. We can have that first slide up. And we'll go straight into the next slide, please. Picture this scene. The baby condor is sitting on a pointed ridge in the Andes with a 200 meter drop just beneath it. It has just left the nest and both its parents are with it. It is time for baby condor's first flying lesson. Dad takes off and soars majestically through the sky, showing baby condor a perfect example of what she should do. Baby condor watches, looks down, and decides to sit some more. So Dad does a flyby as if to say, come on, you can do it. Baby condor thinks about its options, looks at the 200-foot cliff, and sits. So now Mum condor decides that she needs to give a little encouragement. She comes up to baby condor and basically shoves her into the abyss. There is wild flapping, and yet baby condor flies. It wasn't smooth like her father, but she could do it. But she quickly lands on the ridge again. Dad sees this and decides more radical action is needed, and basically dive bombs baby condor back off the ridge and into the air again. But this time it is different. So smooth and magnificent, and baby condor disappears off into the thermals, exploring and flying with her parents. If you want to see the clip of that, it's on YouTube, Baby Condor's First Flight, a BBC documentary narrated by David Tennant. It's very funny. But because of the example it's seen from its father, because of the encouragement from its mother, because of its wings and the thermals and the wind, Baby Condor could fly. Now that was a real turning point, wasn't it, for baby Conda? Until that point, of course, she had always been a condor. But she had stayed in the nest, been fed by her parents, and then walked a little way along this ridge. And of course, condors can walk. They have to feed and to nest, but when you're on the ground, they're kind of ungainly. So when you see them fly, you think, yeah, that is what condors were made to do. They are so beautiful. Well, in today's passage, something similar is happening to the disciples. So far in the book of Luke, we have seen the disciples being called to follow Jesus. And they've done that. They've traveled with him. They've listened to his teaching. They've seen him calm a storm, cast out evil spirits, heal a woman who's been ill for 12 years. Three of them have watched him raise a dead girl to new life. So the disciples know a lot about Jesus. They know that to be a disciple means to follow him and listen to his teaching, that they have this relationship with him. But in today's passage, they're going to find out a lot more about what it means to be a disciple. In baby condor terms, they are sitting on the ridge, watching daddy condor fly. And Jesus is about to give them the gentle shove off the edge and help them learn that disciples, next slide please, disciples do not just listen to his teaching and watch him working. They are sent by Jesus and do his work. A condor is made to fly. To be a disciple is to be sent. And the pattern is the same for us. We're going to learn three things from our passage today. That when we are sent with Jesus' power and authority. We are sent relying on God, and we are sent to proclaim the kingdom of God. So, next slide. We are sent with Jesus' power and authority. Look back at that reading with me. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all the demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. In our daily lives, we're used to this idea of delegated power or delegated authority, where someone acts using power that's been given to them by someone else. I remember some years ago now, I was at my parents' house, and there was a huge traffic accident just outside on the road. And a couple just ran out to see what had happened, and there were cars, three or four cars strewn across the road, some facing the wrong way. And it was clear that it was a very serious accident. And I ran to give some first aid. Someone else was on the phone to call the police and the ambulance. And another man went and just stood to try and stop the traffic. And he stood in the middle of the road, making a very clear stop sign. And people just kept driving through. But within a few minutes, the police arrived. And a policeman went and stopped and stood in exactly the same place, with exactly the same posture. And everyone stopped. Nobody drove past. And of course, it wasn't because this policeman was a better man than my friend who'd gone to stop the traffic. But he had a different authority that had been given to him. To disobey him would have been to actually break the law at that point. And in our workplaces, it's the same, isn't it? We have a power maybe to sell something on behalf of the company that we work for, or respond to a customer's complaints, to marry somebody, or to be a school teacher and tell children something that they should do that otherwise you couldn't do. So we understand this idea very well. So let's just go back to our passage and notice again what is happening. Jesus is saying that he is sharing his power and his authority to do all these amazing things that disciples have been watching him do. He is sharing it with them. And he wants them to use it to do his work. It's amazing. It's so easy just to miss that, but that is the gift that Jesus is giving the disciples at this point. And that is part of what being sent as a disciple is. We receive power and authority from Jesus to do the work that he did. And it is the same for us. Our second reading this morning, the Matthew 28 passage, is Jesus knew that all authority and power had been given to him. And then he sends the disciples. And he sends the disciples to make disciples who will make disciples, who will make disciples until the chain comes down to us today. And we are all commissioned in that way to do the work that Jesus did, to obey him in everything. We are sent with his power and his authority. We'll come back to the work of proclaiming the kingdom a bit later in the sermon. But, you know, I don't know what it's like for you, but proclaiming the kingdom in Japan involves breaking society's rules. To go to somebody and just talk about religion even is completely against all the taboos in Japanese society. I was once talking to my barber in the barber shop and trying to just get engage him and find out what he believed and what he thought about religion. And eventually he got pretty fed up with me and said, "Did you know that in hairdressing college we're taught how to stop a conversation about politics and religion?" But they're actually trained how to do that. That's how against the Japanese society rules it is to talk about religion. But do I accept that when I'm there trying to share the good news of Jesus? When people say that, you know, I have the Shinto gods, so I'm fine. Or I trust Buddha who will keep me safe in the afterlife. Do I just say, okay? No. But I don't go and tell people about Jesus because I'm better than them. Or I'm wiser than them, more moral than them. I don't do it and have all that power to go, the energy from myself. No, it comes from the Lord. You too are commissioned to share the gospel in your communities, the places where God is sending you. In essence, you feel, I just can't proclaim the kingdom of God. Jesus says, I give you my power. And if you feel like you shouldn't proclaim the kingdom of God because it's just not the right situation, not the right what people would want, whatever, Jesus says, I give you my authority. But the fact that we've been gifted with this power and authority doesn't make us proud or just give us the right to barge in there being insensitive. No, we use the power and authority in the same way as our Lord who gave it to us. The washing of the feet, the cross, and yet still being straight about what the message is. Going back to the condor, it became a condor fully at the point that it flew. It's like that with being sent. To be truly be a disciple, we need to be sent. Being with Jesus, listening to Jesus is great. But being sent by Jesus is so amazing as well. Into our families, our schools, our workplaces, our communities, and for some of us, overseas. But we must be sent and go knowing that we are meant to live like this as disciples of Jesus. And he gives us the power and the authority so that we can. Next slide, please. In fact, I forgot to tell you one thing about Japan. So I was telling you about how hard it is to share the gospel in Japan, you know, with this hairdresser story. But at the moment, the church in Japan is in decline. That's the sort of reality of the situation we find ourselves in. That, and maybe you'll feel this is familiar to you here in some ways, but they're currently predicting that half of the churches in Japan will close by 2030 because people are not responding to the gospel, because the churches are getting elderly and there's no one coming through to replace them. So that's the context where we're working. And sometimes it feels hard to keep going. And that's where we need Jesus' power and his authority to do that. Next slide, please. So we are sent, then, secondly, relying on God. What a relief that it isn't all reliant on us. Look at verse 3 with me. Jesus told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. And whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them. Just put yourself in their shoes for a moment. Being sent off on a multi-day journey with no provisions, no smartphone, no credit card. All those things that we would usually take. But what happens if no one listens, if no one even welcomes me, and I don't have a bed for the night, and I don't have food? I don't know if the disciples had those questions, but I think I might have. But we notice later on that actually in the Gospels, the disciples are allowed to take provisions with them. This isn't a pattern that Jesus sets for all time. This is part of his training program for the disciples. When we go to Japan, we do take stuff with us, more than you might believe, the number of suitcases that we sometimes move around with. But Jesus wants the disciples to experience that they're not to focus on the gift, but on the giver. Not on the provision, but on the provider. That the thing, the person, that they're not relying on the thing, but they are relying on their Heavenly Father and their relationship with Him. And He is utterly reliable, no matter the circumstances. So this is a really significant training moment for the disciples. And it comes then as a challenge to us. I don't think you're called to give up your home as you go out into your community this week. But how are we doing in relying on God? It can be so easy, for me at least, to rely on my own strength, my own wisdom. To rely on things around me rather than really placing my full reliance on the Lord. And it's a lesson that we don't just learn once in our Christian life, I think, but repeatedly. Maybe you've experienced it too, where the Lord takes us to the end of our own resources. And we learn that actually relying on Him is the far better way. Is there a step of faith, a task, something that the Lord is laying on your heart, and where He's calling you to renew your reliance on Him in a new and a fresh way? Let me just share a quick story from our ministry in Japan over the last term. And next slide, please. As a mission agency in Japan, all of us, we've been thinking together about this question. How do you reach a whole nation for Christ? Which feels huge and overwhelming. But we felt led by the Lord to really look at our work and how we've been serving Him and rethink what are our priorities and how do we do this? How do we make these disciples that make disciples and plant churches that plant churches? And when it became clear that we needed to do this work, we decided as an organisation that we would conduct a research project, and we would go out and interview about 30 or 40 Japanese pastors, 30 Japanese pastors, some OMF missionaries and some missionaries from other agencies, and talk to them about mission in Japan and where the church is and this 2030 problem of all the churches closing, and say, how can we change that? How can we be involved in serving the Lord? Not that it's us, it's going to be the Lord, but what do we need to do? Well, after we'd made the decision, it was down to me to lead that research project. I've never done anything like it. And I prayed, and God provided this amazing team. And in that team was someone who just happened to be taking a break from their PhD studies. And together as a team, we read and summarized 47 different books about mission and evangelism in Japan. And this PhD student just put together a summary for us. Amazing. And then we were really struggling to design a good set of interviews and surveys for the different pastors we wanted to interview. And a chance conversation, so-called, led to a British organization that helped Christian organizations do good quality research. And the researcher they assigned to us had just been to visit Japan and was praying for that country. And then we had all of this information that we'd collated in Japanese. We needed to translate it into English. And a bilingual ex-IMFer just happened to call up and say they were looking for work. And we had the funding to employ them for that summer. And we got to the point where we now have this book, Church Planting and Partnering in Japan. It's available free as a download, or there's a copy at the back if you're interested to know more. Next slide, please. And we've translated this into Japanese. And we took it, next slide, please, to a Congress of Evangelism last year. 1,000 Japanese pastors from all over Japan got together. We had an OMS store, and there were some colleagues, and we had it on offer. And one day a pastor came past and looked at it and was talking to him about it, and he said, okay, yeah, thanks, and walked off. I was rather disheartened. A few minutes later he came back with a whole group of his mates and made them all buy a copy. And they've been reading it and discussing it. And as a result of all of that, we're now having conversations with a whole different group of churches, talking about, yeah, the churches are closing, but how can we go on the front foot and plant new churches together, and what would that look like? And all of that is because of the Lord's kindness. And so it was a project I had no idea But God provided each step of the way, and I should have known that I could rely on him fully. What about in your life? Lastly, we are sent to proclaim the kingdom of God. Jesus sends the disciples with his message. It's not about them, but it's about him. Yes, they're going to, particularly in their case, heal the sick and cast out the spirits. And we're not quite sent with that same clear authority to do that as part of our everyday ministry. There may be times when we are called to pray. We will encounter evil and people gripped by it, and we have to pray in Jesus' name for their release or for their healing. But we all have the power and authority, the duty, the responsibility, and the joy of proclaiming the good news of Jesus. And I see you've been recommended a book over the summer that helps you do that. Well, in Japan, we've been really thinking about this because we want to help the Japanese churches there to share the good news of Jesus. And it's something that we've noticed is a real struggle, actually, in Japan because of this cultural norm of just never talking about faith or religion. And so we've been working, equipping the churches together in evangelism. And let me just share two things that we found very helpful in our own ministry, but in sharing with others. One is the concept, next slide please, of the 15-second testimony, where you have this opportunity to share your faith, and you just want to see if the other person is interested. It's not the full story about how you came to Jesus. It's going to take you, 20 minutes to share. Literally, you say there was a time when, and you pick two things about your old life before you knew Jesus. And then I believed in Jesus and repented, or I prayed for help, and you talk about transformation, and you always end saying, have you ever experienced something like this? Because then you get to hear what the other person's thinking and kind of diagnose where they're at spiritually. So one of my examples that I've used would be, there was a time when I used my words to hurt other people in an effort to build myself up. But then I believed in Jesus. I realized that was wrong. And he helped me learn how to use my words to bring encouragement and healing instead. Have you experienced anything like this? It's a deceptively simple tool, but it has been so useful in conversations in Japan. And I'd encourage you to maybe think about it, have a go here yourself, write your own 15-second testimony. Lots of videos about how to do it on YouTube. And then another thing we've been using is this, which is the next slide, please, the three circles gospel presentation. I am terrible at drawing, but even I can draw this. Not as nicely as this, but I can draw it. And we've just found it's a great way in like 3 minutes to explain the basics of the gospel to people with absolutely no gospel background, which is pretty much all Japanese people. And I don't have time to go through it now, but again, on YouTube, and just, I think though as Christians we have that duty, don't we? To be able to clearly tell our own story and clearly explain what the gospel is. So there's some tools that can help us and how we've been trying to equip and train the church in Japan. But we can feel, can't we, that I can't do it. Or maybe I can't do it properly. Just think for a moment about who told you the gospel. Are you grateful to them that they did? When they told you, did they get it perfect? No. But God used it. So we do have to remember that it's his power and his authority. We can rely on him for the words, and we rely on him to change hearts, but we do have to go ahead and do it. And in today's passage, we see that actually Jesus isn't that concerned about the results. He expects the disciples to be rejected in some places. He's concerned that they go and faithfully proclaim, and he will take care of the fruit. Being sent to do the work of Jesus is the best. And we are so grateful for the way that you support us in being sent a little further than most people. But we're also praying for you as you are sent into the communities that God has put you in. It is worth it. Let me share just two more slides forward, please. One more. The story of Yuko. Some of you will have been praying for Yuko for over 17 years. We met her when we first arrived in Japan. And just briefly to tell you, rejoice with us that this summer, not only had she kind of believed a few years ago and put her faith in Jesus, but wasn't going to church, but this year she started going to church and she was baptized just 6 weeks ago. Praise the Lord. He has worked over years in her life to bring her to this point. If you want to learn more, come and see me afterwards. We have a resource table at the back. I'd love each of you to take away a little patch that we've got for you today, a prayer card with us for your fridge or your dartboard, a 6 ways to reach the world. Just how can we think about world mission and make it seem more accessible, something that we're all part of, and there's a leaflet there which will talk about how to do that. And we have a coaster to remind you to pray for Japan. It's the best thing you can do, pray for breakthrough. There are some prayer points on the slide there, which I'll leave up, and you can just kind of take away with you. Next slide, please. But as you think about those, let's remember that if you are a disciple of Jesus, you are being sent. But you're sent with his power and authority, sent relying on him, and there's no better way to go. And you're sent to proclaim his kingdom. May the Lord help us and glorify himself. Amen.